the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn together to Psalm 95 in the front part of our hymnals. You may note that Psalm 95 verses 1 through 7 appears as the Venite when we do the service of Matins, but we chant Psalm 95 verses 1 through 7 responsibly by whole verse. I chant the odd numbered verses, the congregation chants the even numbered. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Eternal God, merciful Father, you have appointed your Son as judge of the living and the dead. Enable us to wait for the day of his return with our eyes fixed on the kingdom prepared for your own from the foundation of the world, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this last Sunday of the church year is recorded in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. The epistle is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for this last Sunday of the church year is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. I read again verses 34 and 41, Jesus' words to the sheep on his right and Jesus' words to the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Dear Christians, as I've said a couple of times now, it's the last Sunday of the church year. And on the last Sunday of the church year, we turn our attention to the last day of the world. Before us again today is that familiar Judgment Day scene from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus has come again in glory, surrounded by his holy angels. He is seated on his glorious throne. All the nations and everyone from them have been gathered before him. And then the sorting begins. People are separated from one another, not by family groups, not by political affiliation, not according to ethnic background, not based on socioeconomic status, personal wealth, degree of education, white collar, blue collar, things like that. No, it's simply sheep on the right, goats on the left. Those who believe in Jesus and whose faith warmed their hearts and made them fruitful in good works toward their neighbors on the right. Those who do not believe in Jesus and whose unbelief left them cold and loveless toward others on his left. You cannot listen to Matthew 25, or you shouldn't, with disinterest, because you have a vested interest in what's going on here in Matthew 25. you've got skin in the game when it comes to Judgment Day. That's going to be a real day with a real Jesus seated on a real throne, surrounded by real angels, executing real judgment. And whether you want to be or not, you're going to be part of that mass of humanity from all nations standing before Jesus. And Jesus is either going to put you on his right or on his left, with the sheep or with the goats. You will either go to heaven with the believers or you will go to hell with the unbelievers. It's that simple. The words that Jesus speaks to the sheep and the goats couldn't be more different. To the sheep, to the believers, Jesus will say, "Come, blessed of my Father, receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world." To the goats, the unbelievers, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And I wanted you to hear those words back to back, not separated like they are in Matthew 25. Because although the words that Jesus speaks to the sheep and the goats couldn't be more different, and even though the sheep and the goats are themselves polar opposites, and while the places where they will spend eternity are as different as can be, what is the same is what God willed for them. What God wanted for both sheep and goats. What God purposed for every sinner, believers and unbelievers alike. God's will from the beginning and even before was and still is that every sinner believe in Jesus, be saved, and go to heaven. And so Jesus says to the sheep, to the believers, "Come, blessed of my Father, receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I'm addressing you today as sheep, as those who have been baptized into Jesus, as those who believe and trust in him. I mean, think of it. From the very beginning, from the foundation of the world, before sin and death made their unwelcome entrance into our world and into our lives, God the Father willed that you should be saved. Already then, he prepared for you a heavenly inheritance. Already then, he determined that he would send his Son to be your Savior. Already then, he chose you in Jesus to be his dearly loved and redeemed children. And you hear that elsewhere in the Bible. St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in him with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in him." Paul in 2 Timothy 1 says this of God, "He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been made known through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus." Revelation 13 calls Jesus the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so as you think about the last day, as you think about Judgment Day, and you should think about that day, you may find yourself at times fearful of where you'll end up, uncertain of where you'll be, on Jesus' right or Jesus' left, among the sheep or among the goats, in heaven or in hell. But as you think about the last day, you must also think about the beginning, before the foundation of the world. As you think about the last day, you must cling to God's eternal and saving purpose for you. A purpose that he accomplished through Jesus, through his death on the cross, through his rising to life again on Easter Sunday. God the Father has blessed you in Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Before the foundation of the world, God chose you to be holy and blameless in Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain for you before the foundation of the world. Already in eternity, your salvation was an accomplished fact. God's eternal purpose and grace for you was made known when Jesus appeared in time and space to give his flesh and pour out his blood for your forgiveness. But what about the goats? What about those on the left of Jesus? What about those who have no faith in Jesus and no love for their neighbors? Did God not choose them before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in Jesus? Was Jesus not slain for them and for their sins before the foundation of the world and then in time and history? Was it not God's purpose from eternity to save them also from sin and death and to bring them to the heavenly inheritance? Some say no. Some say that God chose the goats, the unbelievers, before the foundation of the world to not be holy and blameless in Jesus. Some say that Jesus was not slain for every sinner, but only for those whom God chose from eternity to save. Some say that God predestined some sinners to be goats and to go to hell. But that's not true. We know that's not true. Listen to what Jesus says to the goats. "Depart from me, you cursed, and enter into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Are you hearing Jesus? Hell was not prepared for unbelievers. That was never the place that God willed that sinners should go. If it was, Jesus would say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But Jesus doesn't say that. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not sinners. But you see, there's the tragedy. There's the heartbreaking tragedy, the needless tragedy of the last day. There will be sinners, unrepentant, unbelieving, and unloving sinners who will end up going to the hell that God has not prepared for them. Going to the hell that God does not will for them. 1 Timothy tells us, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 says, "The Lord is patient toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." What God wills for every sinner, what God wants for every member of the human family, is that they repent of their sin, that they come to the knowledge of the truth about Jesus, that they be saved from their sins and not perish eternally. God doesn't want anyone standing at the left of Jesus on the last day. But sadly, there will be those who do. Not because of God's will, not because of what God did, because of their own fallen will, their unbelief, their rejection of Jesus and his salvation. You know, if you think you've got skin in the game when it comes to the last day, Jesus has even more skin in the game. Because Jesus gave his flesh. Jesus gave his body, his holy, sinless body, into death for you and me and every sinner. Jesus poured out his blood, his holy, precious blood, for the forgiveness of every sin, yours, mine, and the sins of the world. He gave and poured out that same body and blood that you will eat and drink again today in the supper. And that cross of Jesus casts its sin-forgiving shadow over every sinner from the beginning until the last day. The empty tomb of Jesus shines its life-giving light upon all who are dead in sins and trespasses, inviting them, calling them to live forever. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so as that last day comes closer and closer, and it comes closer and closer each day, we who believe in Jesus, we who are baptized into him, we trust in our God and in his saving purposes that he accomplished in Jesus. And we are and should be confident that because of Jesus, we will be numbered among the sheep and receive that heavenly inheritance that he has prepared and willed for us before the foundation of the world. And to those who do not believe, to those who are not baptized into Christ, we proclaim our God and his saving purposes that he accomplished in Jesus, that they might not be numbered among the goats, that they might be spared the hell that God has not prepared or willed for them. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.